we'll get right into our devotion time and share a little bit of a few thoughts with you and challenges, and then maybe we can finish up. Well, at the end, we're going to stand and salute our flag, and I'm going to share a little bit about the flag with you today. The flag is a scriptural idea, the banner. God has a banner. The banner over us is love, and there's the banner flying over the house of the Lord. We believe that God was in the birth of our nation. I want to share with you some few thoughts that I pulled out this week about how our nation was formed. It was formed with prayer. So this devotion time is about patriotism and prayer. So let me just share a couple of scriptures with you to use for a text. One of them is Psalm 33 and verse number 12. And it says, blessed is the nation. So there's some talk in the scripture about different nations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our nation has been going through some struggle times. And so I'm going to give us a little bit of scriptural direction today. For some of us, it'll be correction, especially if we tend to be those who badmouth or who take sides. I just want to remind you that one time one came to a powerful soldier, a soldier that you'd want to be on your side, and he looked at him and he said, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on their side? And the answer was, he doesn't take those kind of sides. You need to get on the Lord's side. And that'll change everything. I've come to understand that the closer you get to him, not only the softer you get, the more, I'm going to work my way into the picture of the cross, where God didn't just display a love for people who agreed with him, but he died for us then, that while we were yet sinners, that's when he displayed the greatest love, the demonstration of love that you could ever display. And as he is, the scripture says, so are we, the body of Christ in the world. I say that, and yet I don't see it. But I say it, and I walk by faith and not by sight. And I know that if the Lord spoke it, that he's bringing it to pass. So I'm just speaking over the lives of Christians in our nation today, that a softness of heart is coming that will give birth to a flow of the river of mercy and the river of love and the river of healing. There's a river flowing out from under his throne. It'll flow, and trees will be planted on each side of it. There's the sides, both sides. And the fruit from those trees will bring healing to the nations. And so I'm just speaking a prophetic word today. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think we can just stand up in the middle of our city and boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. He said we're supposed to pray that it be on the earth like it is in heaven. There's no problem with knowing who the Lord is in heaven. I saw one seated on the throne, a lion and a lamb, both powerful and meek and full of strength and full of glory and also full of compassion and full of mercy. And there was one seated, just one seated on the throne. There's no question. Said that there was given to him, speaking of Jesus, because he humbled himself, a name that was above every other name, of things in heaven, things on the earth, and even things under the earth. That's even in the demonic. There's no question about who the Lord is. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What nation are you part of today? We're part of the United States of America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I just think we need to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ. It said this, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. What? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Who is the Lord over our nation? Jesus is Lord. Who's the Lord over the city of Olathe? Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I don't see that. The power of your profession. You know how it is that you overcome the disturbance and the sin and all of the attack of the enemy, even the very nature of Antichrist? By the word of your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and because we don't live our own lives anymore, but we yield to Him. And as we do that, I'm just confessing that Jesus is Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34 says this. I'm giving just two verses regarding nation and national heritage and national pride and national direction. It says, righteousness exalts a nation, not just an individual. But I want you to know, as we unite, as we stand together and boldly confess the Lordship of Jesus, righteousness will exalt a nation. I love to put scriptures together. Whenever I study one, I always go through that routine of, so I did exalt. I wanted to find out what it takes for exaltation to come. We know that Jesus is exalted in the heaven, but I want Him to be exalted in our city, don't you? I want to see Him exalted in our nation. And righteousness, the gift of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, Jesus has made unto us righteousness. Can you get this settled in yourself? You have been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And righteousness, what? Exalts a nation. Righteousness will lift a nation up out of its despair. Righteousness, the gift of the righteousness of Jesus. Come on, how many of you have received Him? He's been made unto you righteousness. Then righteousness exalts a nation. You know what we do? I'm putting together the exalting scriptures here. It says that if we will humble ourselves before Him, you know what the result of that is? If we humble ourselves before Him, He will exalt us in due season. Righteousness, the righteousness that's been sown in you, exalts a nation. Come on, get this righteousness. I know you've had a sin consciousness, but this is the hour for you to have a righteousness consciousness. Not by your works, not by looking in the mirror and seeing what a failure you are or how many times you missed the mark, but by seeing in the Word of God the work of Jesus Christ, the work of Calvary, the shed blood that is the guarantee of our righteousness. And righteousness exalts the nation. But listen, but sin will bring despair. Sin will bring destruction. Righteousness. Oh, Father, would you bring us to a righteousness awareness, a righteousness consciousness. You know, right on the heels, I love to be convicted. Being convicted is not a lot of fun. Repentance is not a lot of fun, but I love the result of it, don't you? Because right on the heels of conviction, every time I just start to say, Lord, I have failed, He'll remind me, but He hasn't. And it's not based upon what I've done, but it's based upon what He's done. And if you don't know what that does for me, it brings me right up out of my despair. Lifts me right up out of my heartache. Our nation today needs to be lifted up out of its despair. A righteousness consciousness needs to be stirred up in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because righteousness will exalt a nation. And if we will humble ourselves, the result is that He will exalt us, the lifting up. I want to remind you of a couple of New Testament scriptures, pictures of the work that the Lord is doing in us. Jesus told this to His disciples. He knew, and they knew, they could see a radical difference in Him, but they didn't see that radical difference in themselves. And He so wanted them to, and so He would speak it prophetically to them. So I'm speaking it to you. How many of you know He is the light of the world? He is the light of the world. He can light up a dark place, can't He? Yes. Do you know what Jesus said to His followers? He said, ye. Y-E. Ye. That's ye. There's the ye. We got a lot of ye's here today. Ye are the lights of the world. And then he says this, a light that is under a bushel. See, it can't be used, but get that bushel off of the light. And you are the lights of the world. I know this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this. This light, the light of the world that you are, you have in an earthen vessel. That's under a bushel. But you can pray that the glory of the Lord. Let me share something with you now. You have to put this in context, and you can read 2 Corinthians 4 and you'll find it out. The trials that you're going through are being used to punch holes in your bushel basket. The trials and the difficulties that you're going through, and I'm telling you, if we think our nation is in trouble, I just want to speak it prophetically. The hour of conflict and the trials that we're going through, this light affliction it's called, which lasts but for a moment of time. Hang in there, saints, it's going to work. The glory of the Lord that He's deposited in you is going to come breaking forth. The light of the world, the light, He's the light of the world. We are the lights of the world. The other picture is the salt of the earth. That power that can preserve, that can keep things. But if it's lost its savor. And so the reason that we read and find and receive the exhortation from the Lord, and we make our confession, Lord, it looks like we've lost our savor. It looks like we have lost the power to preserve morality and preserve standards of righteousness. But Lord, we're humbling ourselves. But come on, do you have a promise? If we humble ourselves before Him, what will He do? He will exalt us. And righteousness exalts a nation. Will bring a nation into the forefront. There is a lot of speculation right now about the United States losing its prestige or its favor among the other nations. Can I just tell you this? But righteousness exalts a nation. Let the righteousness of God come to surface. Stir it up, Lord, in your people. Amen. And the third picture that I wanted to present to you was a city on a hill, and I'll finish up with this in just a moment. It says that He calls you God's people, a city, not just a city anywhere. Maybe you feel like you're in a real low place right now. Can I just tell you what the Word of God says about you? It says that even though you might feel like that, He calls you a city that is set on a hill. Oh, let's go up to Zion, the city of our God. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our God. The city shining brightly, the glory of the Lord upon that city. And I just tell you that if you feel like you're in a low place, that God has you situated to be a city on a hill. Because the light of the Lord will radiate out from you. Somebody had a vision one time as they were praying for this place. And they saw it. And they saw light, the glorious light of the Lord shining, not in this place, but out from this place. Lighting up the core, the heart of our city. Out of every window, the glory of the Lord beaming. I'm telling you, you are that vessel. Got a couple of holes right here, one right here. And out of that comes the glory of the Lord, the radiant presence of the Lord. You're a city on a hill. Those that are in the valley will see the light of the Lord and glorify Him. Let me tell you this. I believe that we're called to bless and not curse. And so I just wanted to encourage you today that as we are... How many of you have been hearing some negative stuff about our nation? And there's a natural concern about the direction that that we find ourselves in, going. I've had people that have said, I'm so disgusted by the direction that our nation is going, and I understand that. There have been some people who are saying, I'm so fed up with, and then they'll name their party that they're affiliated with, or the one that they're not affiliated with, and act like they're the enemy, when these are the ones that Jesus shed his blood for. These are the ones that, I'm telling you, it's a season for the body of Christ to line up with Jesus, say what he says, think what he thinks, release what he's releasing. There's a grace that's being released from the throne of God. There's a river of his mercy that's flowing from the throne of God. You can't stand in that river of mercy and bad mouth your senators and your governors and the president that you don't do like or that you don't like. You're not called. You can't find one scripture where it says we're called to correct him. We're called to pray for him. We're called to stand in the gap for him. The Holy Spirit says, I'm looking, I'm searching the earth right now, trying to find somebody who will not criticize, but somebody who will stand in the gap. Now, let the blood of Jesus wash you from your sin, and let's get out, lay aside all that accusation, and let's, why accuse when we can intercede, when we can plead the blood of the Lamb? You can't look at the victory of the cross and be confessing all of the things you're disgruntled with. All you can do is be offer up thanks and know that God's on the throne. He's working things out for his good. I'm just encouraging you today, bless and not curse. I was using this as an analogy earlier this week. I was thinking of my own family. And how many of you, have you ever been mad at your kids? Did they ever get on your nerves and you just want to say, all right, that's enough. I've had it with you. Out of here. You know, can I just... Now, even though you might feel like that, is anybody ready to give up on them? I'm so thankful for a God that's not... I'm going to give you just a few quick things here. I wrote me a note that says, Pastor Gary, you love your children, don't you? And I just answered, yes, I do. And he says, why don't you love your country in the same way that you love your children? And I said, well, how is that? How do I love my children? So I just made me a quick list. He says, you know what? Because, see, when your children were sick, how many of you ever got mad at them for being sick? Did you ever shame them for being sick? Did you say, you dirty, rotten little kid, getting sick like that, what's the matter with you? Well, you wouldn't do that. Can you understand this? Do you believe with me that our nation is sick right now? There's a sickness that has permeated and is hovering over us as a nation. It's not the season for us to get mad at him for it. What is it the season for? So, number one, I made my list. I just remembered my dad praying for me when I was sick. He said, what's the number one thing you're going to do? Your kids are sick. What are you going to do? Our nation's sick. What are we going to do? Let's pray. Let's ask God for help. Let's plead the blood of Jesus over. I remember my parents pleading the blood of Jesus over me and over my day. So number one is pray. Number two, don't give up on them. It's not the season for us to give up on them. Not the season for us to write them off. Number three, seems natural, love them. And then I put in parentheses, sometimes roughly. Sometimes, you know, love is not dull, gooey, and pat your little rear for you. Sometimes it's helping you straighten up. Now, I'm just telling you, we can be the salt of the earth without being so critical and negative and accusing. We can speak words of life to over our nation and remind us that God started a good work. Do you believe that God started a good work in us? Come on, tell me what the Word of God says. He who started a good work in you will go on to finish that work. He is the author, isn't he? Did he start it? And am the finisher of our faith. So regarding our nation, I'm just stirring this up in you. If you feel like giving up, don't give up now. Don't give up on them. Love them, even sometimes roughly. Number four, I remember after Dad would pray, he'd pray for me. I had chronic earaches. Earaches when I was a kid. I should have had my tonsils out, but I'm so old that they weren't doing that a lot back then. And chronic earaches, and my dad would pray for me. And he'd anoint me with oil, and just being in his arms was such a blessing. I was so thankful, even when I was hurting, just his presence with me. And before long, a lot of times I would get well, I would get ready, get riddly quickly, get better quickly. But sometimes, you know, it would take a while. And sometimes I needed medicine. Sometimes I needed a doctor. I'm thankful Mom and Dad had the sense enough to get me to a doctor one time. I remember one time when I was 12 years old, and we waited as long as we could wait. And I went, and I had what they called a mastoid condition. I don't even know what that was, but it was already had to stay. For an 11-year-old kid to stay in the hospital for a week in those days was a big deal. Freaked me out. I was a country boy. I'd never even been in a hospital, never seen a hospital. And now I'm in one for a week. But I'm so thankful that Mom and Dad was there with me. They got me to the physician. Now I'm going to give a spiritual picture. I already said pray for somebody, but there's another. It's not just enough for us to pray. Not just enough, because see, there's a difference in praying a blessing prayer and interceding. Interceding is when you position yourself along with that person. You get them in the place. You usher them into the place. See, I was a little kid. I couldn't. I'm not going to go to the doctor by myself. They took me to the doctor. I'm telling you, some of you have got some governors, you've got some senators, you've got some representatives, we've got some justices, we've got a vice president, that somebody needs to attach themselves to her in prayer and usher her into the very presence of the Lord. Listen, you can do that. That is, we are in the place where we bring them in. Just like my dad and mom brought me to the place where I could get more help than I was receiving at that time. Let's bring them in. And I'm talking about that's real intercession and standing in the gap for, and then medicine. The last thing, make sure. And again, I was a little kid, so I needed somebody to make sure I was taking my meds. We got some people around here, we got to make sure they take their meds, you know, because we get some wild things going on around here sometimes. We need our meds. Oh, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I had a doctor one time, was our favorite family doctor, is Dr. Norman Marvin, and he would give me he would write a prescription. He'd say, you don't need to take this one to Walgreens. He says, this one for you. And on that prescription would be something like Philippians 4:12. And it was a prescription. And it said, take this 3 times a day. Say it out loud. Get in front of the mirror. Speak it to yourself. And we need to make sure that we're speaking the word of the Lord, the words of life. See, if you believe there's power in those words of life, then you have to also believe there's power in those words of death and in all that critical stuff. Be washed from it today. Let the Lord reposition you, and let's love our nation like we love our family. Okay. The USA was birthed out of prayer. I pulled up a couple of things. I put patriotism and prayer. Just in the computer. Here's what popped up quickly. I had a whole list, but I just pulled out a couple things quickly for you. Our nation was birthed out of prayer. Return to our roots. And because, you know, we sometimes forget how things came about. The Declaration of Independence was formed on July the 4th, 1776. We celebrate that day, don't we? We need to back up a little bit. Because 2 years before that, something started. So the July 4th Declaration of Independence, 1776, was preempted with our founding fathers praying during the first Continental Congress meeting on September 7th, 1774, they started praying. Those that met for that Continental Congress started praying and agreed to pray every day, and they did for the next 2 years. That's what birthed the Declaration of Independence. 2 years of prayer. This is what they prayed for a nation that could be a nation under God. Well, I mean, we're called to pray for our nation. George Washington, in his diary, in his own handwriting, wrote this: went to church twice today and fasted and prayed the entire day. That was just one of his dates. That was the only thing recorded. Our founding, our first president of the United States. This is our roots. This is our roots. Oh God, would you do it again? Lord, we have heard of your wonderful works. Would you do it again in our day, Lord? Would you give us a president? Would you give us leaders that could say, went to church twice today, fasted and prayed the entire day? John Adams, the writer of the Declaration of Independence, writes in his diary, God, grant us wisdom and fortitude to represent you well. Ezekiel 22, verse number 30 says this. This is God speaking to a people who are separated from him, and they're off in Babylon, and they're critical. You know, it's easy when you're living in Babylon. These guys, they don't know what they're doing. Did you ever feel like that about some of our leaders? These guys, they don't know what they're doing, and they were critical. And God said, listen, let me get your attention. He says, I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall. Not tear down a wall, but who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of their land. Stand before the Lord on behalf of our land. Now, our last thing I'm going to do, see this flag? I just want to share with you a few little pictures here. Some of the names of this flag. Anybody got a name? What do we call this flag? Old Glory. Old Glory. I'm so glad. That was the first one I wrote down. This is Old Glory. Does anybody know what the definition of glory is? Glory is the manifest presence of God. And isn't it interesting that they call this flag Old Glory? Any other phrases for this flag that you can think of? The stars and stripes. Stars and stripes forever. Praise God. I'm just sharing with you. See, it's all so entwined here. God had his hand on us from the beginning. He's been orchestrating things. It needs to be brought out. So, stars and stripes, the stars and stripes forever. This is from Well, let's do the stars first. See those stars up there? Anything scriptural about stars? Well, when God called Abraham, and Abraham and Sarah were barren, and God gave them a promise that they would be fruitful. And he gave them this illustration of their fruitfulness. He said, I'm going to cause your children to be like the stars of the sky. Isn't it interesting that our flag, when we had to come up with something, we chose stars and stripes. And then they wrote a song, Stars and Stripes Forever. The other picture I want to remind you of is Matthew 2, verse number 2. When it came time for the birth of a Savior and for the Redeemer to come, for salvation to be released on the whole earth, the sign was, I'll give you a star in the heaven. And they came, and they came, and they came looking for him. They came to Jerusalem. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Come on, I'm putting some things together for you today. There is, I know who the light of the world is. I know who the one, the bright and the morning star is. But I also know who the lights of the world are. And I know that God set stars. And I know that Abraham's children are the stars that were promised. And listen to this. And the other thing is, it's the stars and the what? Stripes. Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24 says this. Says, with his stripes we are healed. The stripes that he bore. I just tell you, we got a, I don't know if you're going to look at the flag any different or not. But in a moment we're going to stand up and salute this flag. And it's not just because we're a unique country here toward the end of the space of time. It's more than that. We are God ordained. We are the very light, the very presence of the Lord that can be released, that can send to the entire world his presence and his glory. With his stripes we are healed. The mentality. When I lift up this flag now and say stars and stripes, it's the promise of God for fruitfulness in the children of God. And it's the promise of him healing. And Lord, we have this flag hanging and waving over our nation. The stripes. The stars and the stripes. Come on. The stars and the stripes, what's hanging over our nation. All right. Lastly, let's do the colors. Let me hear how you say them.
Blue, white, red.
What? How did you say them? Red, white, and blue. Everybody see? Did you ever hear anybody say the white, blue, and red? Did you ever hear anybody say the blue, red, and white? That you never will. What's that mean, Pastor? It means we have a God who's intervening in the affairs of men. His voice will be heard. This flag is the red, the white, and the blue. And if you don't know what that is, you can probably figure it out, can't you? What do you think red is?
Blood.
Red is the blood. The blood that's applied to the doorpost of our nation. White is, what do you think it is? It's the purity. It's the gift of righteousness that's been imputed. And it comes out of what? The blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so we've got the righteousness coming out. The righteousness in white is also, when do they wave the white flag?
Surrender.
That surrender. It's the purity and it's the surrender to the work of the blood, the red and the white. And what do you think blue might be?
Royal.
If Mike Postaway was here, he'd tell you, he'd give me a, because I wear the little blue, blue is my color in the study of the temperaments because it's the paste color. And if you ask what the paste color is, it's the guy who's got his head in the sky, thinks everything's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Through the blood, the gift of his righteousness in heaven. An open heaven. The blue is an open heaven over our nation. We have this flag. What is it? It's old glory. What is it? It's the stars and the stripes. What is it? It's the red, the white, and the blue. Praise God. Last point. Something that I feel like we've lost as a nation is the call to sacrifice. We seem to be more interested in what we can get than what we can give. And God wants to impart his heart to us. And our God is a giver. It's so needful that you receive his love so that you can give his love. It's in the receiving of his love that his love will overwhelm you and cause you to not say thank you, but to pass it on. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Who knows what the next question is? Who are our friends? Well, I just want to share with you real quickly, and this will broaden us out again. We sacrifice. How many of you, when your kids were are hungry and you found out about it? I remember Candy and I were living in Sioux City, Iowa, and we were so behind on everything. And somehow the Holy Spirit got word to my mom and dad, and they came with they had an Oldsmobile Tornado in those days. That was a good-sized car. And those two were in the front seat, and the whole back seat and the whole trunk was all filled with groceries. And they drove from Fairway, Kansas to Sioux City, Iowa, and woke us up 1 o'clock in the morning and started unloading those groceries. And at that time we had Tammy and Gary, and just in time. And they didn't mind sacrificing. They gave what they had because we were their kids. How many of you would sacrifice for your family? How many of you, in time of need, you know, it's amazing what just in the last week, Mary's need, people, group from where he worked, came over with food and then a card, and inside the card was all kinds of little denominations of money where people just crammed it in there, ones and fives and tens and twenties, and they gathered all that in because they knew him. And so I'm just sharing with you, we need to love and pray for our country because of the people right here that are around you. Sacrifice for them by standing in the gap for our country. Pray for our country. But let me broaden it out, because our God, his love is even greater than that. Not only does he love his family, not only does he love his kids, but listen, he loves these neighbors too. We have people up and down our street right here. So we've got family, we got friends. By the way, Jesus, when he was here, I'm just showing you a progression. He started off a little babe with his mom and his stepdad. His brothers came along, and he had that family setting. Before long, they were going to the temple, and so it was his family and their friends, and they had that circle of people. And then even Jesus, as he begins his ministry, remember how he did? He made close friends, didn't he? Didn't he? Those disciples that came and spent nights with him, they were his close friends. And he, you know, Lazarus is called his friend. And he had a friend named Mary, and he had a friend named Martha. And he had a friend named Mary Magdalene. And so he had some close friends. And then, now let's progress all the way to the cross. There he is hanging on the cross. Is he thinking about anything? Is he thinking, because I know the pain is serious. And so how do you get through that? It says, for the joy set before him. You know what the joy set before him is? He looked down, he saw his mother. He said, John, would you take care of her? And he made provision for her. And then he saw, no doubt, I think he must have thought of Peter. I think he must have thought of Thomas. I think he must have thought of Lazarus, was probably somewhere back there in the crowd, Mary and Martha. And he had his friends there. And I know, he said, I'm laying down my life for them, and they're going to benefit by what I'm doing today. But did you know that there's more than that? And here's the love of God that we're asking the Lord to kick in. You want to see revival break out that'll bring not just your handful, but that will affect people up and down the streets of our city? It's when there's one hanging on a cross, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And he prays this. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is the them there? Is the them his mother? Is the them his brothers? Is the them maybe a little bit, but the them, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Who is it? It says it's those Roman soldiers. Who is it? It's those who had plucked out his beard. It's those who had mocked him and stripped him and spat upon him. And he said, Father, forgive. Did you know that Romans chapter 5 says that while we were yet sinners, another translation says, when we were still called his enemies, he set his love and affection upon us and forgave us and stood in the gap and prayed for us to be forgiven. Isn't it wonderful? Do you see what's yet to be kicked in here in the church? This is the last great... Let me come back to what I shared with you a moment ago. One of the pictures, a city set on a hill. Can I give you the seed time of a city set on a hill where the light of the Lord is shining so brightly that the lost see it and come to him? Jesus prophesied about it. He said, when my people start loving one another to such an extent that it goes out in every direction, they'll see that and they'll start to believe that God has sent his son. There's a Roman soldier standing. He's probably one maybe that was in on the beating of Jesus. Considered himself his enemy. And Jesus looked down at him, maybe made eye contact with him. And he didn't say, don't worry, buddy, you're going to get yours. He didn't say, I hope I'm here to see the day when you have to pay for this. You know what he said? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Come on, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. We're going to stand in the gap. Our nation has been sick. They need a doctor. Somebody's got to bring them to the physician. The medicine of the Word of God has got to be released. The joy of the Holy Spirit has got to start flowing through people. Rivers of compassion and mercy. And that Roman soldier had a transformation take place and said, surely this is the Son of God. I started to tell you, there's a city set on a hill that shines so brightly that the unbeliever sees it and wants to glorify God, who is the source of that light. Could it be the seed time of that city on a hill is a hill called Golgotha, a mountain called Calvary, and a Savior hanging on a cross, releasing sacrifice and love and forgiveness. I return to Ezekiel where he says, I searched for one who would build a wall and stand in the gap. And then here's the bad news, and I could not find any. But one was found. He's Jesus. And now you've received him. And now the promise is that that transformation would come. And as he is, so would you be in the world. Father, we pray today for a city set on a hill. We pray today for Mount Zion and the sides of the north, the joy of the whole earth at the radiant glory of the Lord. As this flag, as Old Glory flies over our nation, Lord, we pray the glory of the Lord would be released through our nation. Now I'm going to lead you. Father, we ask for forgiveness for being critical, for being judgmental, for being those that would condemn instead of those that would intercede. Much less energy to intercede than to condemn. And it's going to be healthy for you. It's going to change your countenance. It's going to make you smile instead of frown. It's going to release the presence and the glory of God for you. It's going to soothe you. It's going to heal your arthritis. It's going to solve your ulcers. Father, let the peace of God that passes understanding so reside in us that we can release that toward one another. Father, I pray for our president today and our vice president. I pray, Lord, I hold you hold your word it before you. You said, oh God, you would pour your spirit out upon all flesh. You said if we would cry out to you, you would save to the uttermost. We're asking you, Lord, save their souls, renew their minds, capture their hearts, Lord. We stand in the gap for them. We release forgiveness toward them. Father, as you forgive us, Lord, we forgive one another. Lord, I thank you for the stars and the stripes. I thank you for the promise, Lord, of fruitfulness and children. And I thank you for the stripes that you bore. Lord, as this banner hangs over our nation, the promise, Lord, of children of God all over and of healing coming by those that would find themselves under the waving of that banner. Lord, and for the red and the white and the blue, we thank you for the blood and the peace that comes out of the blood of Jesus. And for a way to heaven through the blood. And we thank you, Lord, finally for a city on a hill. Thank you for Calvary. Paul prayed this. He said that I could know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't know if you can see yourself on that hill today. If you say, well, I just can't bring myself to forgive them, place yourself with Jesus. And you'll find yourself forgiving them. Forgive them. Let healing be released. Save our nation, Lord. And use us. Let us finish our course. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, those of you that can? If you can't, I know God understands. How many of you remember this? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Keep your eye. All right, praise God. Hey, we got brats and hot dogs. I've got some other sandwiches I'm going to bring out here real quick. So give us just a couple minutes to get food ready, and then gather around. There's water here. If you brought an offering and don't know what to do with it, there's an offering tray out there. Thank you for helping us. And thank you for coming today. It's a fellowship day, so enjoy one another. Thank you, Jesus.